May we be helped to commence our worship of God this evening, singing together hymn 536. Hymn 536 to the tune Rockingham, 398. It's a very solemn hymn. We had looked at 153 in the second part, which you may be able to look at in your leisure. But this hymn sums it up as well. Hymn 536. Behold a scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place, heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame, the rebels might adore his name. Come, saints, with solemn pleasure, trace the boundless treasures of his grace. He bore almighty wrath for you, that you might all his glory view. Hymn 536, tune Rockingham, 398.
Thank you. read together from the Holy Word of God in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 27, and we'll commence to read at the 11th verse. Matthew chapter 27, commencing to read at the 11th verse. And we'll read down to and including the 56th verse. Matthew 27 verse 11 to 56. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marvelled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil have you done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hand before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when they had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the 6th hour there was darkness over all the land unto the 9th hour. And about the 9th hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." And many women which were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. May the Lord bless his holy word unto us, and help us to approach unto him in prayer. Oh, thou kind and ever gracious Lord God. Oh Lord, as we have read together, sung together, of the death of thine only begotten Son, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, we are, Lord, reminded that thou art righteous, that thou art holy. Thou wilt in no wise acquit the sinner. Ah, Lord, sin must be atoned for. Thy righteous Lord is utterly inflexible. The soul that sinneth it shall die. But Lord, the grace, oh, thy mercy, that great love wherewith thou hast loved us, that thou hast sent into this world thine only begotten Son, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, that we should behold that scene of matchless grace. Jesus, in the sinner's place, bearing the punishment that was due unto the sins of thy people. Oh, that thy righteous justice should be utterly satisfied. And Lord, through him, a full release purchase for payment thou cannot twice demand, once at our bleeding surety's hand, and then again at ours. Lord, we plead this evening, oh, that thou wouldst grant that we might know those blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That, Lord, we might be brought to the foot of the cross, our eyes open, to behold in Jesus all a dying sinner can need, all that is required for peace here, and for glory hereafter. Oh, we plead, Lord, that we may be enabled to say with one, "Yes, now I know, 'tis he, 'tis he." Lord, we plead, oh, that Jesus may not be a stranger unto us this evening, that we may not be strangers unto him. But, oh, Lord, could it be thy good pleasure, according to thy election of grace, that none this evening here might be left out of thy number, of whom Jesus said, "I know my sheep." And the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. Oh Lord, that through his death we might find this evening that fountain open for sin and for uncleanness for us. And Lord, that we might often be found coming to that fountain daily to repent of sin, daily to wash in Calvary's blood, and to find, Lord, day by day, these streams more healing. Oh, we plead, Lord, this evening that thou wouldst be applying once more thy precious blood within our conscience. Lord, may we know thy peace with thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, if there are any here this evening that have never known that peace, any, Lord, that stand convinced of a sinner, or open their eyes to behold Jesus. Lord, we plead that he may not be a stranger unto us. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst bless thee things that were done here this morning. May thy word not return unto thee void. Oh, thou knowest what will prosper this or that, Lord. We plead this evening that we might find thy blessing rests upon thy word. Lord, thou knowest the case of each one. Any that were not met this morning, may they be met now. And Lord, may we not be left to detract from anything that was blessed of thy people this morning. Oh, we plead that we might not be left, Lord, to cut off any of thy little ones, nor, Lord, to settle down any short of Christ. But keep us, Lord, close to thy word. Help us to preach the whole counsel of God. Pour in that there might be that pouring out. Keep the door of our lips. Bless, Lord, the word with thy power. Give help in the disc, in the giving out of the hymns. And Lord, give hearts prepared to receive thy word, ears that are opened. Oh Lord, may there be some this evening, blessed characters who have to watch daily at thy gates, waiting at thy doors. Oh, say and speak the word only. Lord, hear their cries. And send abundant answer of peace. Any, Lord, that had never heard before, break up the fallow ground, scatter forth the gospel seed, that it might bring forth good fruit in souls this evening. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst help us to sing thy praise. Oh, grant unto us that sacrifice of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, which thou, O Lord, will not despise. May we know, Lord, that unity in Jesus Christ. May we feel and know that oneness, one in heart, in mind and in voice, as we're found within thy house. Lord, bless the church here. Remember the members that are absent, Lord, this evening, thy servant, wherever he labours in the preaching of the gospel. Grant thy blessing upon the word and journey in mercy at the end of the day. Bless, Lord, his dear one unto. Remember, Lord, the member in weakness and old age, unable to gather this evening, bless her and be with her. Lord, grant that thy spirit may be known among them as a little church. The one, Lord, at home with the children. The others, Lord, that would be here but can't be. The little ones, Lord, or the parental responsibilities. Those, Lord, that have gone out from this place, have not yet returned unto it, but oh, we plead, Lord, could it be thy good pleasure thou wouldst bring back the prodigals? Oh, thou wouldst restore the years of the palmer worm and caterpillar has eaten. Lord, that thy holy name might be yet be glorified here. Oh, the wonders that the God of grace alone can do. We'd ask, Lord, that we might yet see the power of thy grace in this place, the building up, Lord. Oh, the adding unto the church daily such as should be saved. Lord, for this we have no power of ourselves. Our strength is to lie still at thy feet. Oh, we plead, Lord, that thou wouldst work, that we might prove nothing can let it, nothing can hinder it. We'd ask that thou wouldst, O Lord, bless the cause of the truth with which we associate together, thy servants, wherever they labour this evening. Send them forth with precious seed. Bring them again with rejoicing, bearing their sheaves with them. Send forth, Lord, more labourers into the vineyard. Raise up pastors according to thine own heart. And Lord, here we plead, could it be thy good pleasure thou wouldst yet be sending them another pastor according to thine heart. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst make way where there seems to be no way. Provide for them in the ministry, Lord. Oh, thou wouldst constrain and restrain in these things. We might not be left, Lord, to our own will, to our own thoughts. But, oh, thou wouldst constrain us to thy will, and that we might prove, Lord, thy purposes are always best. Deliver us, Lord, from formality. Oh, deliver us from carnality. Deliver us, Lord, from settling down on anything short of Christ. But, oh, may we know more often the sentence of death within ourselves, that we might be found fleeing to the fountain of light, life. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst help us this evening to sing thy praise. Oh, to truly worship thee, for Lord, thou art great. Oh, thou art worthy to be praised. Who, Lord, can find out thee out by searching? Who can understand thy wisdom and thy grace? Lord, thy goodness to the children of men. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Oh, that thou wouldst, O Lord, bring thy loving kindness once more before our eyes this evening, that lost in wonder, love and praise we might truly, oh, be found put in the crown in the right place, and honour and glorify thy great and thy most holy name. Bless, Lord, thy one true church throughout the earth. Oh, thy persecuted people, those in far off lands, those in the midst of warfare, Lord, in trouble, those in lukewarmness, the day in which we live, Lord, in our own land. Oh, we've waxed fat and we've kicked against thee. We've wandered, Lord. Oh, the spirit of the world has wasted us. But, oh, thou art the same, still able to save. Ah, Lord, bring us back to thee. Help us to rest alone upon thy eternal covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Have mercy, Lord, upon our land. Bless our king, the royal household, our prime minister and his government. Oh, that thou wouldst restore, Lord, order in the midst of chaos, that thou wast caused us, Lord, to return. Oh, where does man's wisdom bring us? But thinking themselves to be wise, they become fools. God is not in all their thoughts. And ah, Lord, they are the leaders of our nation. But oh, thou art above men, devils, and sin. Lord, thine arm is not shorter than it cannot save, neither is thine ear weary it cannot hear. Bring us, Lord, as a nation to repentance. Cause us to mourn before thee in sackcloth and ashes. Oh, help us, Lord, to return. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst prepare us for our end. Remind us that thou art our hand, Lord. Oh, the day of the Lord is swiftly approaching. Oh, to be ready at the end, Lord, of another Sabbath day. The doors of this place to be shut up once more. Until Tuesday evening, Lord, we know not what a moment may bring forth. Oh, grant us that urgency this evening, that we would not let thee go except thou bless us. Speak, Lord. Oh, give us that hearing ear. Give us, Lord, that felt need this evening, and satisfy every needy soul. Oh, bless those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Feed us with living bread. Wash us truly, Lord, from all our iniquities, all our sins. Oh, our unbelief, Lord, solemn unbelief. Strength and faith. Bring, Lord, all heaven before our eyes. Oh, may we see Jesus. May it make sin once more a bitter thing. May we be drawn heavenwards. May we be brought to truly worship thee. Receive us graciously, love us freely. Take away all our sin, we'd ask it. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Paul Tyler is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening and also next Lord's Day, both morning and evening. And the ordinance of the Lord's Supper will be observed during the evening service. The collections and donations for the month amount to £700.25 in the general fund, £17 in the benevolent fund. We desire to acknowledge the friends willing giving and to thank God for his provision for this house. May we now be helped to continue with that solemn theme, singing together hymn 680, June Bishop Thorpe, 104. Before all worlds, the glorious plan, the blessed eternal deed, was settled by the eternal three, the Christ, for man should bleed. Astonished angels stand amazed, that Christ should die for man. This proves the eternal love of God, who gloried in his plan. But what can poor lost sinners say, when once they get a view and hear the blessed Spirit say, all this was done for you. Hymn 680, June Bishop Thorpe, 104.
Help me this evening, grant you prayer for attention. I'll direct you to a text you'll find in the prophecy of Isaiah. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 25, and reading at verse 6. Isaiah, chapter 25, and reading at verse 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. It is particularly to the seventh verse that I wish to draw your attention this evening. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. It must be asked, first of all, what is the mountain that is emphasised in our text this evening, in this mountain? There is to be a feast made. In this mountain, the veil is to be taken away. Friends, to answer that question, perhaps we need to ask what is the feast is made, the gospel feast. What is the veil that is taken away? Well, we read of the rending of the veil of the temple from the top to the bottom. And the mountain that is spoken of here is the mountain. First of all, we must consider it is really Mount Zion, but the mountain upon which Jesus was crucified. Oh, they took him to that hill which was called Calvary, and there they crucified him. And it was through his death that the gospel feast is made known. The gospel feast is prepared, that feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. It is through his death that death is swallowed up in victory. It is through his death that tears are wiped from off the face of his people. And it is through his death that the rebuke the God upon his people is taken away, as Christ is their propitiation, and he brings in that peace and pardon from the skies. And it is through his death that that veil which has been over his people, that veil which has separated, is taken away. And it is that veil this evening, and the taking away of that veil, as the Lord would help us, we wish to come to consider. The veil that we read in the moment that he died, When Jesus had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. We read here, friends, of a veil, the veil of the temple, the veil that separated the holy place from the court of the temple, and the veil which also separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. It is that veil which separates the Holy of Holies that is specifically spoken of here, the veil that was before the mercy seat, or the veil that barred the approach to the mercy seat. But friends, we have this truth set before us in other places in the Old Testament. I was troubled as to what to bring before you this evening. Our mind has really remained on a subject that was we were trying to consider at Gravesend this morning, concerning the covering of badger skins that we read of, that covered the tabernacle, that covered all the vessels of the tabernacle. Every time the vessels were taken out and carried, they were to be covered with badger skins. The glory of the Lord was hidden. Nobody was to see that glory. We read of the Kohathites that when they were to take those things, oh, they were not to go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they died. Oh, friends, what a thought that is. Those priests that carried the ark, those priests that carried the candlesticks, they never saw them. They never saw them. They were hidden from their view by badger skins. And all those that looked on the tabernacle, all those within the tabernacle, the priests that served there as they looked upon the holy place, the tent of the Lord, all they saw was badger skins. Friends, they never saw its glory. Its glory was completely hidden. And those badger skins, they represent that which flows from sin, the effects of sin. Oh, friends, they represent the effects of sin in us. What is the effect of sin? Blindness. Ah, friends, by sin we are separated from God. No man can see God at any time and live. Why? Because sinners. Oh, His holy, divine justice must utterly destroy the sinner, must consume the sinner. Our God is a consuming fire. Our sins are separated between us and God, and our state by nature is often described in the Word of God as blindness. We cannot see God. Oh, friends, we do not know God. We're ignorant of God. We're without God. We're without hope in the world. Oh, friends, we are blinded to God. We cannot see His glory. Oh, by nature we will never believe in God. By nature we will never approach unto Him. Our sins are separated from God. And those badger skins set before them, the veil set before the children of Israel, that separation that sin had made. They could not approach unto God. Their sins had separated. But there's another thing, friends, those badger skins represent. And they represent the effects of the sins of the Lord's people in the person of Jesus Christ. Friends, as Jesus Christ came into this world, we really humbled Himself and made Himself of no reputation. Oh, He was found in fashion as a man. Friends, He became a servant. Oh, He laid His glory by. He did not lose any of His glory, but His glory was veiled. That's what we speak of, His glory being veiled. And what was the effect? We read of it in Isaiah chapter 53. There is no beauty that we should desire Him. There is nothing in Him, no comeliness. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Oh, friends, His glory was veiled. And what was the effect of that veiling? He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Why? Because they could see nothing in Jesus Christ. they could see nothing in Jesus Christ. Ah, friends, the veil in both senses. They were blinded to see anything in Jesus Christ. But, Jesus Christ, as his glory was hidden, what did they see? But a man, a weak man. A man who was tired. A man who slept. Ah, friends, they saw a man who had nowhere to live. Oh, the disciples asked, didn't they, where he dwelt, and he said, come see. But what does he tell us? Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Oh, friends, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Oh, those that followed him, the crowds that followed him, they only followed him for the loaves and the fishes. They only followed him for the miracles they saw him do. Ah, they saw no glory in him. And therefore they were quite willing to say, crucify him, crucify him. Ah, friends, they saw nothing in Jesus. And by nature, neither do we. Oh, Robert Murray McChain says, concerning his days of unregeneracy, Jehovah said, Ken, you meant nothing to me. And by nature, friends, Jesus Christ will mean nothing to you. By nature, you'll be able to read the account that we read and sung the hymns that we sung. And it will mean nothing to you. It will have no effect upon you. Oh, friends, it's only as the veil is taken away. Only as the badger skin covering is taken off and the glory is revealed. What is it to be saved? What is it to be brought from death unto life? Is to be brought to be enabled to say that Jesus Christ is Lord. John tells us that he wrote his gospel, that he wrote it to this end. Oh, that believe it. That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believe it, ye might have eternal life through his name. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Oh, friends, what does it require for us to be brought to say that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? The veil to be taken away. The veil to be taken away in two senses. Oh, friends, firstly, we should be granted such a glimpse of, well, first of all, that the blindness should be taken off from our eyes. Oh, friends, that our eyes should be open. And secondly, that the veil, as it were, should be taken off from Jesus Christ. Oh, that the Godhead should shine through the man. We should be enabled to say with the apostle, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, friends, that requires the veil to be taken away. The veil was taken away. In type. Oh, that veil which represented this blindness, taken away when Jesus cried with a loud voice, it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Oh, friends, the veil was taken away. And the veil spiritually was taken away in the death of Jesus Christ. Oh, the Apostle Paul speaks in the 10th chapter of the Hebrews concerning the veil, the way of access. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. That is to say, his flesh. Now, friends, in Matthew here we see several cases whereby, the veil was rent. The veil was rent. The dying thief, you know, as he looked upon Jesus, he saw nothing, did he, but a thief and a robber. He saw nothing but a sinner. Oh, friends, as he looked upon Jesus, he cast it in his face with the other thief. Oh, friends, he also railed upon him. But in an instant the veil was taken away, and the dying thief beholds. And what does he behold? This man hath done nothing amiss. Ah, friends, he sees the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, the guilty worms might rise. Ah, the door is opened, the veil is rent. Ah, he sees that scene of matchless grace which you sang together of Jesus in the sinner's place. And oh, friends, he has to come with all his sin, we indeed justly. Ah, just as he was without one plea. Ah, friends, he had to come a poor sinner, and he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The veil was taken from off his face. Ah, friends, his eyes were opened. his eyes were opened. His eyes were opened. His blindness was taken away. He saw himself. We indeed justly. Friends, he saw the Saviour. He no longer saw the Saviour as one like him, who he thought was a malefactor, who he thought was a common criminal. But no, friends, he saw him as the Son, the sinless, spotless Son of God. Oh, he beheld him as the Christ, the Saviour of sinners. He saw his glory, and he comes. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. But there's another one that we read of here in this account in Matthew. We read when the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, truly this was the Son of God. Oh, no man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Friends, Jesus said concerning Simon Peter when he came with that testimony, whom say ye that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon bar Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but his Father which was in heaven. And nothing less but a revelation of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Nothing less than that veil being rent in twain and seeing. Ah, and that dear man, that real man. Oh, that man who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Ah, friends, who knew what weakness was, who knew what tiredness was. Ah, friends, who struggled under the weight of his own cross, such that they compelled Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross for him. Our friend he, who needed to be strengthened by an angel in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, bore all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. Oh, but to see, he is the eternal Son of God, the sovereign of the skies. To see him, who is God, yet who humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. Became obedient unto death, even that cursed death of the cross. He who knew no sin, holy, harmless, yet made a curse for his people, made sin for us, standing in our place to bear the punishment that was due unto us. The veil to be taken from off our faces. Friends, the blindness to be removed. Jesus Christ to be revealed. And that's what we read of in our text this evening. He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. The removing of the veil. Oh, that we should see Jesus, that we should behold him. Now friends, we can read our text regarding all people and over all nations in two senses. First of all, friends, it is not all that are brought to see in this life Jesus Christ, to behold him as the Son of God. That is not a common testimony that we read coming from the lips of Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, friends, how rare it is. It is brought by the Holy Ghost. I'm certain of this. Oh, this testimony is heard throughout the earth. Oh, he's redeeming unto himself out of every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue. In every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue. A soul here and a soul there. The veil being taken away. Oh, they are brought to behold Jesus Christ. Till the whole earth shall be filled with his glory. But friends, it's not all people that are brought to see. Well, the dying thief saw upon the cross. There was another thief. Oh, the veil was never removed. Friends, he died. Endless death awaited him. He never knew Jesus. He never saw what the other dying thief saw. Oh, Jesus Christ was never revealed to him. Jehovah said, Ken, you never meant anything to him. And so, friends, we certainly must not say this evening that everyone is brought to know Jesus Christ as the Christ, as their Saviour. Not everyone is able to say that Jesus Christ is Lord. But there is, friends, another sense in which we may read this all people and all nations. Because the apostle tells us, oh, through death. Oh, as he has become obedient unto death. As he has been brought to that place where he has cried, it is finished. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The apostle tells us, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. And given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh friends, there is a day coming when that veil will finally be taken away, and it will be taken away from all nations, and everyone then will have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Friends, those who have been brought to know him as such in this life, and those who have rejected him. And oh friends, that will be their condemnation in hell. That is undoubtedly part of the flames of hell, part of the heat, part of the blackness of the eternal abyss. That they rejected him who was the saviour of sinners. Oh, they never knew him. He came unto his own. His own received him not, but at last, oh friends, they will see him. They will know that through the blindness of their sin, they never knew him. And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, friends, how important it is, how vital it is, oh, that we should be brought in this life, before that great day, to be enabled to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. It is but by the Holy Ghost. It is only as the veil is taken away. Oh, friends, do you feel this evening that veil? Do you feel your blindness? Friends, do you feel your ignorance in the things of grace? Do you desire to know Jesus? Do you feel your need of him? Well, friends, there's only one place where Jesus is to be sought. Only one place where the veil is taken away. Friends, only one place where you will behold him as the Son of God. And where is that? In this mount. He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. Friends, we have to be brought to the cross. We have to be brought to the cross there to behold that scene of matchless grace. That there that veil should be taken away. Friends, that there we should see the suffering Lamb of God, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, friends, do you know anything of the taking away of that veil? Do you know anything of the taking away of that veil? Oh, there's a beautiful hymn. If I can just turn it up for a moment. What object's this? Without the gate. Which meets my eyes without Jerusalem's gate, which fills my mind with such surprise as wonder to create. Who can it be that groans beneath a cross of massy wood, whose soul's overwhelmed in pains of death and body bathed in blood? Is this the man? Can this be he, the prophets have foretold, should with transgressors numbered be and for their crimes be sold? Friends, is that where you stood are? Wondering. The veil's still there. Friends, it has not yet been taken away. But the note of the hymn changes. And the hymn writer now says, yes, now I know, tis he. Tis Jesus, God's dear Son, wrapped in humanity to die for crimes that I had done. Oh, blessed sight. Oh, lovely form to sinful souls like me. I'd creep beside him as a worm and see him bleed for me. I'd hear his groans and view each wound until with happy joy I on his breast a place have found sweetly to lean upon. Oh, friends, can you come in with the hymn writer? Yes, now I know. Tis he. Friends, that's the language of the soul who has had the veil taken from off their faces, who has been brought to see through the veil. Who no longer sees Jesus Christ just as a good man. Who no longer sees him just as a worthy man. Friends, who no longer sees him as an object of derision. this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Friends, they said he cast out devils in the name of Beelzebub. They accused him of being a wine bibber and a drunkard, a gluttonous man. Friends, they saw no glory in him. They saw no beauty in him. They did not desire him. They rejected him. But oh, what a difference grace makes. We read of those on the day of Pentecost, pricked in their heart. 3,000 added to the church in one day. Friends, we later read of the priests that rejected him, a great company of priests added unto the church. The effects of the veil being taken away. Oh, the effects of the glory of Jesus Christ being seen. Friends, it's there, you see. There. Oh, it's at the cross of Calvary as we are brought to behold Jesus in the sinner's place. It's there that we understand something of the sinfulness of sin. Oh, that we often think at the beginning we know something of sin. Friends, it is a sense of sin and thrall, as the hymn writer puts it, that forces us to the sinner's friend. But oh, you know, it's as we're brought day by day to have to look to Jesus Christ, to see him suffering for us, that we're led more and more deeply into the exceeding sinfulness of sin. But as we're brought to realise that our sins cost him wounds and blood and smart. Friends, it was our sins that caused his glory to be veiled in the first place. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, rich in glory, yet he stooped, rich in splendour, but all for love's sake became he man, became he poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Oh, friends, this is the glorious work of Jesus Christ. Has the veil been taken from off your faces? How do you glory in him? Do you glory in him? Oh, you know, you've sung together two hymns which speak really, which take up this subject, and speak of the glory that is seen. As you sang in your opening hymn, oh, come saints with solemn pleasure trace the boundless treasures of his grace. He bore almighty wrath for you, that you might all his glory view. Oh, friends, it's only through his death that the veil is taken away. It's only through his death that the sin which is separated between you and God is taken away. Oh, friends, it's only through his death that the power of sight is given. Oh, the Holy Ghost is given, by which we say that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, had Christ never died, we'd still be in our sins. Oh, friends, if Christ never died, our blindness would never have been taken away. But it's through his death. And all through his death, brought to behold his glory. Brought to behold his glory in time. Oh, as we behold him as lovely Jesus, as we can say that he is precious. Oh, that we glory in him. We glory in the cross, as the Apostle Paul did. Glory in the cross. Oh, we read of the effect of those who get this view. Those of whom the veil is taken away, we sang together. And what can poor lost sinners say when once they get a view? And hear the blessed Spirit say, all this was done for you. Oh, friends, what is that view? That they're taking away the veil. Oh, the revelation. This is Christ. This is the Son of God. And why is he upon the cross? The crimes you've done. For your sins. What did we sing together? It brings us to say, why me, O blessed God? Why such a wretch as me, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? Oh, friend, is that the language of your soul this evening? Could you come in with the hymn as you sang it? Oh, dear, pick up the notes of your heart this evening. Why me? Why me? Oh, why did Jesus ever choose? Why did he ever come willingly into this world to suffer and to bleed and die for me? Friend, it's only as the veil is taken away. Only as the veil is taken away. Only as we're brought to Calvary to behold the eternal Son of God wrapped in humanity to die. Only as we hear him gasping, bleeding, see him bleeding and dying. That we're brought to glory in the Son of God. Brought there to find our all in him, our hopes entirely fixed on him, in this mountain. I will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. There's another aspect of this veil we just want to touch upon for a moment. We've spoken of this veil being as blindness. But oh friends, the veil that is spoken of here also speaks of the veil of mourning. And it's closely joined with "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord will wipe away tears from off all faces." Ah, you see friends, it's not just blindness that sin has given us, but death. The wages of sin is death. But here you see friends, in this mountain, death is taken away. The veil of mourning. This veil is not just a covering that we might be blinded from that glory. Friends, it's a covering. The covering of death. Oh, friends, we're dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, do you know what it is to have that veil of mourning upon you as you're brought to realise your deadness, brought to feel your sins? You're a poor mourner before the throne of grace. Friends, you have to mourn over your sins. A poor, lost, undone sinner. We indeed justly. The dying thief had the veil of mourning on, didn't he? We indeed justly. Friends, he could only say with one, couldn't he? "And if my soul be sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well." Friends, he could only expect. He only deserved. He could only claim one thing. A lost eternity. Oh, but though by my sins deserving hell, I'll not despair, for who can tell? So he comes and he puts up that cry, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." But oh, friends, what an answer he receives. "Today, thou wilt be with me in paradise." Ah, friends, the scene was changed, wasn't it? The veil of mourning was taken away. Ah, that man! Snatched as a brand from the burning. Snatched from hell, from the very threshold of it. And oh, promised a kingdom. "Today thou wilt be with me in paradise." Ah, friends, promised eternal rest, eternal glory. Promised a seat at that feast of which we read together in these verses, a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. Ah, friends, those days of mourning ended. The days of sorrow cut off, and instead joy and peace in believing. That's the effect, you see, of the veil being taken away from off your face. Or is it a question with you this evening? Perhaps it is. Well, do I really know anything of this text this evening? Do I really know of that veil being taken away? Well, friends, if the veil has been taken away, this will be one evidence of it. Ah, your darkness will have been turned into light. Your mourning into joy. Ah, friends, your dispeace. No peace for the wicked would have been turned into peace, peace that passeth all understanding, through Jesus Christ your Lord. Ah, friends, have you known anything of that change of state before the cross at Calvary? Oh, as you prove the healing power of that blood. Ah, friends, as you prove that peace which that precious blood, shed blood, has made with God. Oh, peace by his cross as Jesus made. Ah, friends, has he ever made peace in your soul through his cross? That's the taking away of the veil. That's the effects of known. Oh, the face of the covering cast over all people. Death swallowed up in victory. Tears wiped from off their faces. Tears wiped from off their faces. Oh, no longer sorrowing and sighing. But sorrowing and sighing shall pass away. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and shall come to Zion. Oh, with songs of everlasting joy shall they lift up their heads. Friends, a change that's made by the taking away of the veil. A change that is made alone at Calvary. But oh, there is also, when that veil is taken away. Friends, that change. We read in Isaiah 53. Oh, no form, no comeliness. Nothing that we should desire. As we quoted to you. Oh, he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Ah, friends, once you saw nothing in Jesus. You would not have suffered for Jesus. Ah, friends, you wouldn't have given anything up for Jesus. Jesus meant nothing to you. Had no hold upon you. no love in your soul to Jesus Christ. But when that veil is taken away, friends, when you behold the King in his beauty, when you're brought to realise and to know, oh, Jesus is precious, exceeding precious, the Lamb of God, the beauty of his form, the comeliness of him, friends, you can no longer stay away. You see, there's another effect to the death of Jesus Christ. We read of two secret disciples, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night. Friends, they were men we might say Jesus meant little to them. How can I say that Jesus meant little to them? They were able to be secret disciples. Friends, they had not yet been brought to that place where they were willing to venture their life for Jesus Christ. Oh, the things of this world meant more to them than Jesus Christ. But you know, when the veil was destroyed in the mountain of the Lord, friends, when the effects of Jesus' death were seen, when the eye of their faith was opened, they could no longer remain secret but disciples. And Joseph and Arimathea and Nicodemus, they go. Friends, they go to Pilate, they beg the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph now buries him in his newly hewn tomb. Friends, a tomb that he had dug out for himself. And don't think that's an easy thing. No, these were not graves as we have them dug in the earth. This was a tomb hewn out of the rock, which Joseph had hewn out for himself, but he lays his Lord there. Oh, friends, what had made the difference? Jesus meant something to him. Oh, friends, Jesus meant so much to him now that he was willing to venture his good name. Friends, he was willing to give up all and to follow Jesus. Has the veil been taken from off your face? Oh, when the veil is taken from off your face, when Jesus says, arise and follow me, friends, you'll leave all and you follow him. Why? Because Jesus is precious. You'll be able to say, in measure to know my Jesus crucified, by far excels all things beside all earthly good. I count but loss and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Now then, all the globe is dead to you, and you are dead to all the globe. There's only one thing needful. You must have him. You must know him more. You must follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. That's the effect of the veil being taken from off the face. Oh, friends, do you know anything of that? Has the death of Jesus, has the revelation of Jesus Christ in your life separated you from the world? Has it separated you from everything you seek after, the flesh seeks after? Friends, has it made one thing important in your life? One thing important: Jesus Christ and him crucified. Friends, if the veil is still upon your face this evening, you'll hold Jesus with a light hand. You may come up to the Lord's house, but doesn't mean a great deal to you. If you're put to it at work amongst your work colleagues, you may not be entirely truthful. You may try to cover up where you've been on the Lord's day. You might not speak openly about those things, ashamed of him. Why? Because he means little to you. But oh, if the veil is taken off in the mountain of the Lord off your face, if you should see Jesus, friends, then you'll be made willing to take up your cross and follow him. His institutions would I prize. Dare to defend his noble cause. Friends, that is the effect of the taking away of the veil from off the face. A change made. Oh, do you know anything of this change? Do you know anything of this change this evening? Can I ask you again, has the veil been taken away? Friends, does Jesus now mean something to you that he never meant before? Could you be satisfied without Jesus? Can you bear the thought of tomorrow without him? Or if the veil's been taken away, then you'll have to come in with one who said, I need thee, precious Jesus. I need thee. I must have thee. But friends, our text leads us to another point we want to say. In this mountain, shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things. He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering over all people. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. Now, friends, this undoubtedly refers to the mountain at Calvary where these things are accomplished. It has another aspect, friends, and we could take up Abraham. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Abraham saw my day. I saw my day, says Jesus, and he rejoiced. He knew something of this rejoicing. The veil of the mourning was taken away. Oh, friends, what a veil was upon Abraham's face as he went up Mount Moriah to offer up his son, his only son Isaac. But there, a lamb provided. A ram caught in the thicket. God shall provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And God provided one. And Abraham saw, by faith, in that provision that God had made, the Lamb of God, that God would provide, in his place, the Redeemer to suffer in his place. Abraham saw that day. He rejoiced. The veil was taken from off his face. Friends, he rejoiced in the day of Jesus Christ. He knew Jesus. Jesus was not born into this world till many years were passed. Friends, how did he know him? By faith. The taking off of the veil. The revelation of the Holy Ghost, nothing less. Just the same as us. And in every one of the Lord's people, there comes that day in their life when the Lord says to them, in a sense, get up to Mount Moriah. He reveals to us our life demanded by a holy law. And he reveals to us Jesus. That scene of much disgrace. Jesus in our place. The veil is taken off. Oh, friends, we rejoice. It is the feast of fat things. Friends, it's a day of feasting. It's a day of rejoicing. There's no sorrow. Tears are taken away. But, friends, while we live on this earth, we have to prove we've still got misty sight. We've still got misty sight. There are many things that hide Jesus from our view. We lose sight of him. And as the hymn writer says, lose sight of Jesus and his cross and soon we fall a prey. Friends, have you lost sight of Jesus this evening? What is the effect? You become ashamed of him. Ashamed of him in the workplace. Friends, you hang back when it comes to taking up your cross. You perhaps count the cost. There are other things, other affections that have got your heart. Other things that you're taking up with. Friends, it's because you lost sight of Jesus. There's something that's come between. Are you filled again with mourning? Again, you've looked within yourself and all you see is sins. Once you knew something of it, you looked for your sin and found they're gone. But now, past offences pain your eyes. You find sin again within your members. You cry out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? Friends, it's a day of sorrow, it's a day of mourning, a day of tears. You've got that veil again upon you. You feel cast down. You sit in the tents of sorrow. Why is it? Because you lost sight of Jesus. And what has made you lose sight of Jesus? Your sins. Friends, sin will make you lose sight of Jesus. The devil will try to constantly be taking your eyes off him. The world will draw you away. Friends, what many things there are in our experience that are come between us and Jesus again. But the veil once taken away. That veil rent in twain from the top to the bottom, it could not be stitched up again. Friends, it was not stitched up again. It was the rent veil. When the blindness is taken away. Friends, we can never become blind again. Our sight may become misty. Things may get between. Friends, we may lose our comfort. But the veil cannot be put back together again. We cannot become blind again. What a blessed truth that is. But you know there is a day coming. A day when the fullness of these words will be fulfilled in the life of the Lord's people. A day when there will be nothing that can get in the way of our sight of Jesus again. A morning without clouds. And that is that day when the Lord's people enter into glory. It is in measure, I believe, in death of the soul. But Job speaks, doesn't he? He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth and shall stand on the earth in the latter day. And it's the emphasis there. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. though my reins be consumed within me. Ah, for the Lord's people, there is a day coming when, oh, raised from the dead, raised from the grave, mortality having put on immortality and corruption incorruption. Oh, we shall be like him and we shall see him, says John. We shall be like him and we shall see him without a veil between. Ah, friends, then, no more. Ah, with a sinful body, a body of sin and death, no longer cumbered about by clay. Ah, we will see him as we've never seen him before, without anything between. Ah, friends, nothing that can come between. Nothing that can come between. No separation there, no sea, no sin. There we shall see his face and never, never sin. But from the rivers of his grace drink endless pleasures in. Oh, friends, that's a day that the Lord's people look forward to. A day when we shall see him with unsinning eyes. Ah, friends, a day when there'll be nothing to draw your heart away from him. Nothing to turn your and divert your attention. But you will look right on and you will see him in all his glory. And the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. And that is a day, oh, when the little of the joy that we've tasted of here, oh, there we'll enter into the fullness of the joy of the Lord. Ah, oh, there the sweetness of Jesus Christ on this earth. Oh, friends, how full it will be then. If such the sweetness of the streams, what must the fountain be? Where saints and angels draw their bliss immediately from thee. Oh, it will be a feast of fat things. A feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. Ah, oh, they will be utterly satiated with Jesus Christ. Ah, totally satisfied. I shall be satisfied, says the psalmist. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Ah, when we are like him, and when we see him. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In paradise within the gates a nobler entertainment waits. Fruits new and old laid up in store, where we shall feast and want no more. Ah, friends, fruits new and old. Oh, the things that we've already known of Jesus Christ, tasted of Jesus Christ, seen of Jesus Christ on this earth. Ah, they will continue to satisfy us for an eternity. Ah, friends, they will still be matter of praise in eternity, but there'll be new fruits too, new sights, fuller sights. Ah, friends, greater glory, that which we cannot behold on this earth, but that which we shall see, ah, with our eyes in glory to come, and it will eternally satisfy us. Death swallowed up, eternal life, tears wiped from off our faces. Oh, friends, these words are taken up, aren't they? In the prophecy of the Revelation concerning that glorious day. One of the elders answered and said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him night and day in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Why? Because there is this feast of fat things full of marrow and wine on the lees well refined. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. In that mount, ah, friends, the Mount Zion, the mountain of the Lord which is yet to come, the heavenly Jerusalem which cometh down from above. Oh, friends, in that mountain finally, ah, we will see him, we will know him, in all his glory. Oh, do you look forward to that? Do you look forward to that day? You know, friends, if the veil has ever been taken away, if the veil has ever been taken away, you will not be satisfied here. Ah, the little that you know of him, your cry will ever be with the apostle, that I might know him, that I might know him. Your prayer will ever be with William Gadsby, oh, that my soul could love and praise him more, his beauty's trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice, and all his matchless will esteem. Oh, friend, you will not be satisfied with the little that you know of him here, but you'll long for that day when you'll see him face to face. You'll long for that day when the veil shall be totally taken away. And oh, friends, all the things that hide him from your view here, all the things that were lowering clouds before their eyes as the hymn writer speaks of. In thy hymn, if unto Jesus thou art bound, the crowd about him will be found, attending day and night. Ah, friends, you feel that crowd this evening. It seems it were to keep Jesus from your view. Oh, you have to mourn over that wretched crowd. Ah, it makes you long for that day when that crowd will be finally done away with, when you'll be done with this world. Oh, you'll be done with sin, done with corruption. Oh, and you shall see him in all his glory. Ah, friends, it make that day a day that you long for? Does it make heaven a sweet prospect? Oh, does it fire this evening your zeal? Does it fire your zeal? The hymn writer says, doesn't he, give me the faith, the wings of faith to rise above the give me the wings of faith to rise within the veil and see the saints above, how great their joys, how bright their glories be. They mark the footsteps that he trod, his zeal inspired their breast, and following their incarnate God, possessed the promised rest. Ah, friends, are you marking the way that he has gone? Are you marking the place that he's gone to? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, to where I am, there you may be also. Ah, friends, that's heaven to the Lord's people. And that is what is desired. That is the chief desire of those who have had the veil taken away, or have beheld the glory of the Godhead shine through the man. Who can say with the apostle, we beheld his glory, I beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who can say, yes, now I know, tis he. Ah, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, you can go nowhere else. He and he alone has the words of eternal life. Oh, he is Jesus. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Saviour of sinners, and you love him and you adore him. Ah, friends, have you known anything of that blindness removed? Have you known anything of the veil taken away? Was Jesus once despised and rejected, but is he now loved and adored? Oh, if so, it's because you know something about text. He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 763. Hymn 763, tune since Saviour 228. Alas, and did my Saviour bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Thus might I hide my blushing face, while his dear cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness, and melt my eyes in tears. Hymn 763, to the tune Sin Saviour 228.
Amen.
forgive all that's been amiss in the worship of thy house here this evening. Bless, Lord, thy word unto us. Oh, Lord, that we might be found, even on the mount this evening, that the veil might be taken away, that we might see no man save Jesus only, that we might behold his glory, oh, his ability to save, his willingness to save. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst be with us as we go on our way. Part us with thy blessing, grant journey and mercies homeward. Be with us throughout the remainder of our short and uncertain lives. Lord, prepare us for our end. And may we have that glorious prospect, oh, that we shall see him in all his glory. Forgive us, Lord, of all our sins, we'd ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.